Right. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this day, thankful again for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do thank you for the ones that have come, the ones that have put forth that effort. I pray, Lord, you'd bless them for being here, that you'd give them something, Lord, for this, from this time in your house that will help them. And Lord, I pray for those that wanted to be here but are not able, ask you to bless them. And Lord, we ask that you please have your way in this service. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak through me the words that you want said. And Lord, may all of us today have ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth. Lord, please clear our minds from distraction. Help our minds not to be wandering other places, thinking on other thoughts. Help us to focus our attention now on the word of God and what you have for us. Lord, help us to receive it. If there's somebody here that's lost, we pray that this day would be their day of salvation. If there's a Christian here that needs help, I pray that you would give them the help they need, whatever it might be. Lord, please help me now, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message today is, Can These Bones Live? Can these bones live? And in the passage that we just read, the Lord shows Ezekiel a valley full of dry bones. And from what we read on down in verses 9 and 10, we learn that these are the bones of a great army that was slain in this valley. And prophetically, what is said here applies 100% to the house of Israel. You learn that from verse number 11, the verse right after we stop reading. And what is said here has to do with the future or yet to come reviving and resurrecting of Israel. That's the prophetic meaning of this passage. But now, even though this applies prophetically to Israel, as with all other scripture, practical application can be made to our lives. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to not focus in on the prophetic application, but I want us to make some practical application from what we read here in the text. And to do this, there are three main things that I want us to look at. First of all, I want us to look today at what I call the prophet of God, the prophet of God. Then I want us to look at the prophecy of God. And then finally, I want us to talk about the power of God. Those are the three main things that I want us to focus on in the text as we try to make some practical application. So let's start, first of all, by looking at the prophet of God. And this is found in verses 1 through 3, the prophet of God. And the prophet, as I mentioned earlier, is the prophet Ezekiel. He is the one who is doing the speaking and who is having this experience with the Lord. And I want you to notice a couple of things here about the Lord's prophet. First of all, I want you to notice with me what he saw. Let's look at what Ezekiel saw at this time, what it was the Lord showed him. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord." Now, that's terminology that's very similar to what you read over in the book of Revelation, where oftentimes John would refer to himself as being in the spirit. And you read there in Revelation how the Lord would transport John in the spirit to a particular location so that he could be given the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have here that same type of terminology. Ezekiel is carried out in the spirit of the Lord just like John was. And we notice it says in verse 1 that he was set down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. So the Lord takes him in the spirit from where he was and sets him down in a valley full of bones. Verse number 2, he says, "And caused me to pass by them round about." The way I understand that is the Lord caused him to compass or to circle or go around all of these bones that are in the valley. Because he says he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many, very many. So there's a whole lot of bones in the valley. This is what Ezekiel the prophet is seeing. He's in this valley where the Lord has set him down, and he's seeing all of these bones, and there's a massive amount of bones in the valley. But notice he says there were very many in the open valley. It's an open valley. There's no trees, no structure there that would provide shade of any kind. That means that these bones are feeling the full effects of nature. The sun is coming directly down on them. The wind would be blowing across them. All of the rain or whatever might come down, all of this is coming down on these bones. So they're bones most likely that are going to be very, very white in color. They'll be bleached by the sun. The wind would have blown sand across them and turned them very white in color. That's what he's seeing. And then notice he goes on and says, "And lo, they were very dry." And that's certainly understandable. Very dry, laying out in the sunlight, laying out in the wind and the rain and all the elements. You can understand why they would be very dry bones. And this is what Ezekiel saw. And I want to remind you of something that I said as I was getting started. These bones here are the bones of what at one time was a great army that was slain in this valley. These bones represented people who actually lived at one time. They were real live people who had come into that valley to fight a battle, and obviously they had lost the battle. At least they lost their lives in the battle because their bones are now scattered throughout this open valley. But the thing I want you to understand is that those bones represented people who at one time were real and very much alive. Real people that had life in them. But where life once existed, there is now nothing more but dry, lifeless bones. That's all that's left there in the valley. And the reason why I want you to see this is because I believe that what we just read is a very fitting and accurate description of a lot of Christians and a lot of churches that you find in our world today. I told you I'm just going to make practical application. And that's what I'm doing. I believe that what you read here, this description of these bones, what he sees there is a very accurate and fitting description of a lot of saved people, a lot of churches that you find in our world today. There are a lot of saved people who at one time were full of life. Just like these people at one time had life and they were real and they were living. And they were there to fight a battle. There are Christians all over this country who at one time were full of the life of God. I'm talking about, man, they were on fire for God. They had the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ came to give. They were men and women who had great joy and great peace and a great zeal and fervor in their heart for the Lord, and they were in the battle. They were fighting the good fight of faith that you read about in the Word of God. That's the way they were. But now they're not that way anymore. Where once life existed, where they were so alive. I mean, when you got around them, you could just feel the life of God coming off of them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those people you get around and you can just tell they're full of God. They're so excited about being saved. They're just filled with joy, man. You can just see it bubbling out of them. But now when you get around them, it's not that way. Once they were so full of life, and where that life existed at one time, now there's just dry, lifeless bones. That's all that's left. Something has happened somewhere along the way. These people here were slain in this valley. Either God killed them himself or he sent another army to end their lives. But these people were slain. They were killed. They didn't take their own lives. Somebody else ended their lives. A lot of these saved people that I'm talking about who were so full of life but are now dry and lifeless, something has come into their life that has taken away all of the life that they once had. I'm not talking about them being unsaved again, because hopefully by now you know that's just a bunch of nonsense, okay? Saved people don't get lost, amen? What I'm talking about is a practical thing where you could just sense in them, man, they were just so full of God and so happy to be saved just all the time, wanting to go to church, wanting to read their Bible, praying. Every time they got around you, they wanted to talk about the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? They didn't want to just talk about carnal things like hunting and fishing and shopping and all that other stuff. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with talking about those things. But these were people who were so excited about the Lord, had so much life in them, that when you got in their presence, they wanted to give you some kind of testimony. They wanted to share something with you that God had done for them or that God had done for somebody else. You could just tell they were happy to be saved. It was very clear that they were alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it's not that way. Just dry and lifeless. Something has come in. Something has happened somewhere along the way, and they're not where they used to be. They don't have that same life and that enthusiasm and that zeal that they once had. It's not there anymore. Some sin or sins has come in, and it has worked death in them. That's what sin does, by the way. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We tend to apply that just to people who are lost, that die and experience spiritual death, or the second death. There's a lot more to it than that. Friend, the wages of sin is death. It's death. It works death in us even before we ever die physically. That's what sin does. And whenever we allow these sins to come in, whether they be sins of commission, things we do we shouldn't do, or sins of omission, we stop doing the things we ought to be doing, or maybe it's a combination of the two. We start doing some stuff we don't need to do, and we stop doing things we were doing. But whatever it is, we allow this to happen, and it goes on in our life, and we don't confess it, and we don't get it right. And eventually, it works death, and it sucks all of the life out of us to where we're just dry and lifeless. Man, we had that zeal before, but we don't got it now. It's gone. It's gone. And understand, I'm not necessarily talking about somebody going out and getting into a whole bunch of bad, horrible things, you know, that the sins we all categorize as the worst kind of sins. You know all you got to do, I mean, if you want to be real about it, all you got to do to go from being full of life to being dry and lifeless is just stop doing the spiritual things that you know you need to do. That's all you got to do. You don't have to go out and get involved in a whole bunch of real hideous, horrible things to lose that life. All you got to do is just stop doing what you were doing. That is one reason why whenever Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus over in the book of Revelation, that's the very first church that he addresses there. And he commends them for several good things, but then he says something. He says, I have somewhat against thee. And he says, what I have against you is you have left your first love. At one time, they were in love with the Lord with all their heart, but he said, you left that first love. And in telling them what they needed to do to get that love back, you know what he says to them? He says, repent. And then he says, do the first works is what he says. You know what caused them to leave their first love? They just stopped doing those first works and they fell out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do a whole bunch of terrible things. You don't got to become a drunkard, a dope head, a whoremonger. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is just stop reading your Bible like you need to. Stop having that quality time with the Lord like you once had. Start missing some church and laying out when you know you ought to be there. Just stop doing those things, and before long, you're going to find yourself dry and lifeless. No longer having that fire and that excitement and that zeal that you once had. The life will be sucked out. That's what sin does to you, friend. Y'all listening to what I'm saying this morning? Need to pay attention. I don't know. Maybe that's your condition this morning. Maybe what I'm describing here is you. Maybe sitting in that pew this morning, you know deep down in your heart, we talked about it in Sunday school, you know, we're all, to some extent, concerned about everybody around us this morning. But maybe deep down in your heart, you know, no matter what kind of facade you put on all morning, you know deep down in your heart that you ain't where you used to be with the Lord. Maybe you know that. Maybe you know there was a time when you had a lot more life than you got right now. When you really were in love with the Lord with all your heart. Where you had that life of God just flowing out of you. But now you're dry and lifeless. Maybe that's where you are today. I hope not, but maybe you are. I know that's where a lot of saved people are at, and I know that's where a lot of churches are at today. Churches that at one time were so full of God, they were alive and thriving spiritually. I don't necessarily mean that there were a whole lot of people going, but I mean spiritually, they were alive and thriving spiritually, and now they're as dead as a hammer, dead as a hammer. That's where they are. Well, let me show you something else here. Not only what he saw, we're still talking about the prophet of God. I want to look now at what he was asked. The Lord asked him a very important question here. Verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's the question. He shows him this valley full of dry bones, just dry and lifeless. But then he asked him a real important question. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Can these that are dead have life again? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Can these bones live? Those Christians that have gotten away from the Lord, that once had that life but no longer have it, can these bones live again? Can a Christian that has died be brought to life again? Can they have that life restored and renewed and resurrected within them? Can they be brought back to life, or are they destined to spend the rest of their time on this earth dry and lifeless? Can these bones live? Is there any hope? If you're here this morning and you're in the condition we just talked about, is there any hope for you? Can these bones live? Can you be revived? Can you get back to where you were at one time in your life? Can you get back to that place where you are full of the life of God again? Can that happen? Or are you without hope this morning? Well, to answer that, there's a couple of more things I want us to look at in this passage. Let's move on now and let's look at what I call the prophecy of God. We talked about the prophet of God. Let's look at the prophecy of God. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 4. A couple of things to notice here. First of all, I want you to see that the prophecy is given. The prophecy is given to Ezekiel. Verse 4, and he said unto me, the Lord said unto Ezekiel the prophet, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. Sinews are like tendons. And will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. The prophecy is given to Ezekiel. The Lord tells him what he's supposed to say. And that's why I call this the prophecy of God, because this prophecy did not originate with Ezekiel. The Bible says that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This thing did not originate in Ezekiel. It originated with the Lord. The Lord gave this prophecy to Ezekiel. And the thing I want you to notice about this prophecy is back in verse 4 to start with. Look at the end of verse 4. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then the beginning of verse 5, thus saith the Lord God. Down in verse number 9, again, middle of the verse, thus saith the Lord God. When the Lord gave this prophecy to Ezekiel, what he told him was to give the word of the Lord to these bones. What he said, look at verse 4 again. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. He's telling Ezekiel, I want you to tell these bones what I have to say. Don't give them your word, Ezekiel. Don't tell them what you want to say. Because the way I understand the end of verse number 3, if Ezekiel had been left to himself, he wouldn't have known what to say. Y'all see that? And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He's not very committed in his answer, is he? He doesn't say, yes, Lord, they'll live. He doesn't say, no, Lord, they won't live. He doesn't say, they might live or maybe they'll live. He just says, Lord, you know I don't. If he'd have been left to himself, if God hadn't have put some words in his mouth to say, he really wouldn't have had a message to give to those bones. So the Lord put the words in his mouth. He said, son of man, this is what you say. You tell those bones what I have to say. That's what he's told to do. The prophecy is given to Ezekiel, but then notice secondly that the prophecy is given by Ezekiel. He's given his marching orders, his instructions. He's told what to do. And how did he respond? Look at verse number 7. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Then look on down at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded. It was given to Ezekiel, and then it was given by Ezekiel. You know what he did? God gave it to him, and he said, Ezekiel, you tell them bones what I got to say. And think about it for just a moment now. Ezekiel has been taken from where he was, and he's been set down in the midst of a valley full of dry bones. Dry, sun-bleached bones. There's a whole bunch of them. And the Lord tells this man of God, this prophet, I want you to talk to bones. That's why I want you. Your instructions today are to preach to a bunch of dead bones. Sometimes that's what I feel like I'm preaching to. That was a joke. It's all right if y'all laugh there. But in all seriousness, I have, not here, I'm not being funny. I'm telling you God's honest truth. I have preached in churches where it was as dry and lifeless as any place I've ever been, and I hope God never sends me back there again. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what he tells Ezekiel. I want you today, your congregation today, Ezekiel, is a bunch of dry, lifeless bones. Now, what does Ezekiel do? Does he argue with the Lord? No, Lord, what's wrong with you? You mean preach to a bunch of bones? It's just bones. You don't mean to waste my time talking to these dry bones? They're all dead. They're lifeless. They're bleached out. There's no hope for these bones. Why waste my time preaching to a valley full of dry bones? You know why he was to preach to that valley full of dry bones? It goes back to what we talked about in Sunday school, because that's what the Lord told him to do. God said, this is what you do. You do it. And guess what he did? Lo and behold, divine revelation, you have a man that did what God told him to do. He took what God gave him. He didn't say to the bones what he wanted to say. He didn't give his opinion. He didn't put any part of him into it at all. He just said to the bones exactly what the Lord told him to say. Would to God across this land today, we would get some preachers that would just get them a Bible and start telling God's people what God has to say. Would to God we'd get back to that. Let me show you something. Here's the third thing. The prophecy of God. The third thing is the power of God. The power of God. Look here. When he gives the prophecy, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I did what I was told. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. That means each one went where it was supposed to go. You didn't have arms attached to knee bones. Everything went right where it was supposed to go. And I believe they went exactly to the person they were supposed to go. God brought them all together just as they were before. So it says they came together bone to his bone, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. Can you imagine what's going through Ezekiel's mind as he's standing there watching all this happen in front of him? He's probably blown away by this. I would be. You would be, right? I mean, this isn't something that you see very often here. Let me ask you this, just as a side note. Y'all believe that? You believe that really happened? I hope you do, because it did. It really happened. This is not some fictitious story we're reading here. This is an absolute miracle that's recorded in the Word of God. This is what God did. This is what God can do, friend. This is the kind of God we have. Ezekiel's just prophesying. He's just preaching. And while he look at it, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied. He's not through with the message given the invitation. He's in the course of giving the prophecy that he's been given from the Lord. He's just standing there doing what God told him to do, and all of a sudden, the power of God shows up. And God begins to bring those bones back together. And he puts the sinews upon them, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So they got a body now. You see the power of God in the bodies that are formed. But also, you see the power of God in the breath that comes from the four winds. Look at verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy in the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. That's the power of God. No man could do that, right? No man could do that. That's something only God could do. God brought those dead, dry, lifeless bones back to life. He gave them bodies, and he put the breath of life into them, just like he breathed the breath of life into the first man, Adam. He breathed the breath of life through these four winds back into these people, and they're alive, and they stand up, and they're a great army. So here's the question. Can these bones live? Whenever Ezekiel asked, or the Lord asked Ezekiel that, he didn't have an answer. Verse 3 again. Can these bones live? He said, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. I don't know. I don't know if they can live or not, but Lord, you know. He didn't have an answer. You and I ought to have an answer because we got the Bible. Can these bones live? Yes, sir. God brought them back to life. The power of God. The Lord did it. What I'm saying to you this morning is if you are in the condition we talked about earlier, I'm trying to give you some encouragement here. If you are in that condition where you recognize this morning that you have gotten a long way from where you used to be, and your description is that you have become dry and lifeless spiritually, no longer have that life of God like you once had it, I'm telling you there's hope for you this morning. You are not destined to spend the rest of your time on this earth in a valley, dry and lifeless. If that is what happens, if that's how you spend the rest of your existence on this planet, that'll be your choice. Because these bones can live again. You can get back to where you were. You can get back to that place where you're excited about being saved. That place where you're filled with the joy of your salvation. Where your first love is the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you want to do is talk about Him and think about Him and sing about Him and tell other people about Him. You can get back to that place in your life. These bones can live again. That's good news, friend. But here's the thing. For you to get back to where you need to be, I can tell you what it's going to take. Y'all ready to hear that? It's going to take the power of God. What brought these bones back to life? God's power. It's going to take the power of God to get you from where you are now back to where you were. But it can happen. But here's the thing now. Here's the thing. You cannot have, how many of you is listening to me? You cannot have the power of God without the Word of God. You can't have it. What is it in this story that unleashed the power of God? When was it that he began to hear that shaking? When was it that he began to see God's power move and stir amongst them bones in that valley and start bringing all them bones back together and putting those sinews on them and putting skin around them? When did that happen, friend? When did the power of God show up? It showed up when Ezekiel gave the word of God. When he prophesied what God had to say, that's when the power of God showed up. You cannot have the power of God without the Word of God. Those are two things that are inseparably connected. You cannot have the power of God working in your life apart from the Word of God. You cannot have it. In Hebrews chapter 1, it's referred to as the Word of His power. It says, all things are upheld by the word of his power. You cannot separate those two things. The word of his power. You cannot have the word of God operating in your life without, or the power of God operating without the word of God. You can't have it. What I'm telling you is that if you want to get back, these bones can live. God's power can be real in your life. You can see God take you from where you are to where you used to be, but it won't happen unless you come in contact with the Word of God. That's why saved people need to throw out all these perversions of the Scripture that they have bought into now. I'm telling you, folks, Christians the world over have bought into the lies of the devil, and they're reading a book now they call a Bible, and it ain't a Bible. They ain't got the Word of God in their life. They think they're reading it every day, but they're not reading the Word of God. That's why you don't see any real reviving going on in our churches now. That's why you see so many Christians that are dry and dead and lifeless. They walk around thinking they're champions of the faith reading a Bible, and it ain't even a Bible they're reading. They're committing spiritual adultery is what they're doing. They're reading something that is not the Word of God. If you want the power of God, you got to get rid of that garbage and get you a real Bible, friend. And when you do that, you open yourself up to the real Word of God. You'll begin to see the power of God operate in your life. And this isn't just true for individuals. It's true of churches. Across this land, there ain't a handful of preachers across this land. I'm talking about in relation to the amount of churches that exist in these United States, right here in Covenant County for that matter, there ain't a handful of preachers that have stayed with this King James Bible right here. They themselves have been suckered in by some egghead in a college somewhere or some preacher somewhere that's taught them something, and they have gotten away from the real Word of God, and that's what they're giving their congregation every Sunday. You know what they're doing? They're killing their people is what they're doing. And you say, I don't agree with that. Well, it makes no difference whether you agree with it or not. Your unbelief does not change the truth, friend. What your unbelief does is it alters what the truth can do for you. But just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't true. The truth of the matter is God has one Son, right? He has one Spirit, right? There's just one God, right? Why would we think for a moment He would have 250 versions of His Word? It doesn't make sense. People have bought into the lie of the devil, and now in their own individual lives and their churches, just dry bones is all it is. We keep saying we want the power of God. I want God's power to show up. When we get back to God's Word, then we'll get some power of God. I'm telling you, you can live again, but you won't live without the Word of God. It's your choice. You can choose to spend the rest of your life, rest of your existence down here on this earth in a valley with a whole lot of other dead people. You can choose that if you want to. But if this morning you're tired of being there, tired of not having that life like you once had, just sick of it, just fed up with it, tired of being out there in the sun getting bleached and just getting drier and drier and drier with every day of your life that goes by, if you're tired of that, hallelujah, these bones can live again. You can make the choice right now, today, that by the grace of God, you're going to get back to where you were. And I hope you'll make that decision. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Thank you that these bones can live again. Lord, if there's somebody here today and they've gotten so far away from you, they're just dry and lifeless, Lord, please help them to see it and help them to not want to be there anymore. To know that they can live again. They can have the life they once had. They can get back that joy they've lost. That excitement they once had. They can be full of life. Help them to make that choice today. In Jesus' name, amen.